Turn, if you would, this morning to 1 John chapter 3. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are glad that we can be here today. And Lord, I pray that you would bless the effort to preach your word. I pray that this would be said in a way that it would challenge each of us who call ourselves believers. And Lord, if there's someone here today who has never placed their faith in you, then I pray that today would be the day that would happen. I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin this morning by just making a quick confession or admission that this sermon was obviously intended for last week, and then the weather came about as it did, and so it kind of is dated because it was centered on the fact that it was Valentine's last week, and so that's kind of where some of the thoughts originated from. So just be patient and be kind and gracious as you normally are, and we will work our way through this, and I think you'll still manage to get the point of it. But I want to begin this morning by talking a little bit about where I find myself at today. And you may say, well, why are you wanting to begin by talking about yourself? Because it'll get us to another point. And I think it's, again, one that we can all understand. But as I sit back, maybe, and reflect a little bit on where I'm at today, I look and I see that God has been good to me and to my family. I look back at where we're at, or I look at where we're at today, and I see that God has blessed me and Susie with a home that is adequate for all of our needs, and it's paid for. I look back, or I look at what God has provided by way of material blessings, and I say, by the grace of God, we own everything but one of our cars, and our car payment is next to nothing on that in relation to how things cost or what things cost these days. We've got a little bit of money in the bank. We've got some money in savings for retirement. And so while we're not wealthy, while we're not rich, God has been good to us in these areas of life. And I think most of you could look at where you're at today and say, you know, God's been good to me in those same areas. He's blessed us with a house. He's given us cars and clothes and some money in the bank, whatever it is you might look at. And I don't know about you, but this is true of me, that sometimes I look at where I'm at today and I forget where I started at or started from some time back. See, I was thinking as I prepared this sermon a couple of weeks ago, I was thinking about what I looked like before Susie and I got married. It was different than what we look like now. When Susie and I met, I was 18 years old, and I was working a dead-end, do-nothing summer job between semesters of college. I had basically no money in the bank. Of course, I was still living with my parents with no ambition to get out anytime soon. I was driving a car that you needed to be careful as to what your top speed was because it could vibrate you to death. I had no clear direction. I had no clear understanding of what I was going to do with my life. In a sense, I was just existing. So where I'm at today is a far cry from where I was 26, 27, 28 years ago. And it is easy to forget where I was almost 30 years ago. And so Susie and I started dating. Susie and I got more serious in the relationship. And obviously, at one point, I asked her to marry me, and she said yes. And we went into marriage having very little, almost nothing. And again, God has blessed, but in one of the ways in which God has blessed has not just been in the material ranks, not just in the material realm of things, but God is blessed in our relationship as well. And where we're at today is not even close to where we were almost 26 years ago when we said, I do. And this morning, I could probably try to brag on myself a little bit as to the kind of husband that I've become in the last 26 years. And maybe, just maybe, some of it would be justified. But I can honestly say this, that much of whom I have become today is because of the wife that Susie has been to me. Okay? Now, I'm not just saying this because it was Valentine's Day when I put these thoughts together and I thought, ooh, this will get me some points. No, it's not that at all. That is the truth of the matter. Much of who I am today and much of who we are as a couple in all realms of life is in great part associated with who she has been these 26 years. And so whenever I look back on these years that God has given us and God has progressed us and God has advanced us, of all that I'm thankful for, it is something that I am thankful for, the relationship that we have. And because of who Susie is to me, it challenges me to be a better husband to her. Because of what she has contributed in my life, it really does instill in me this desire to be a better husband than I have been in the past, and I want to continue to improve in my relationship with her. Now, someone says, well, why are you talking about yourself? Why are you talking about your marriage and the challenge that you have in relation toward her? Well, this morning, as we're looking at the book of John, 1 John, and we'll get to the text in a couple of moments, I want to remind us of just a couple of things that you probably already know, but I just want us to be aware of them, that this letter was written to believers. Okay, this was not a letter that was written to unbelievers. This is not what we might call an evangelistic letter per se, though obviously evangelism could come from this particular letter that was written. But this is a letter that was written to believers by a man named John, obviously, who understood some basic Bible doctrines. He understood some basic Bible truths, and I want to remind us of what some of those basic doctrines and truths would have been. Something that John knew with certainty was this, is that all men are sinners. Every man, every woman, every child who has ever walked or who will ever walk on this earth, John knew every one of us are sinners, and because of our sin, we are separated from Christ. That is what John would have known. John would have also known this, as you know this, and we're thankful that we know this because of the scripture, obviously, that there is no way in which a person can be saved and made right with God through the efforts of their own. Okay, I could not be made right with God. You could not be made right with God based on your efforts or me based on my efforts. No, the only way that we could be made right with God is through the work of Jesus Christ. Amen. The only way that anyone can ever be made right with God is through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And here is what John knew. John knew that it was the love of God that motivated him to send Jesus Christ to this earth to die on the cross for our sins. John knew God loved mankind so much that he was willing to send his son to die on the cross for our sins. Now, all that being said, I want to try to begin making some connection to us spiritually to where I am sometimes in my own personal life and where you may be sometimes in your own personal life. And that is this, is sometimes from a spiritual perspective, I look at where I am today. If that doesn't make sense, let me just kind of break it down a little bit, and I think it'll catch on pretty quick. But I look at where I am today from the spiritual sense, and I say, you know, I've got a spiritual understanding here, and I think I've got some discernment at this particular level, and I feel like I've got some understanding of sin and a desire for righteousness and godliness in different areas of my life. And I can look back and say, by the grace of God, here is where I am. And in doing so, I sometimes forget where I came from. Have you ever been guilty of this? You look at your spiritual life and you say, I'm in church and I've got my family in church and I do this and we give this and we do all this and we have all these things that we look at as to where we're at spiritually, and we're thankful for this, but in focusing on where we're at now, we forget that this is where we used to be. Are you like me and you sometimes lose sight of the fact that you really were and really are still a terrible sinner? I mean, just be honest. Do you ever lose sight of the fact that is where we were when God spoke to our hearts? You know, it's so easy as to where we're at now to maybe look at someone who is living in sin, living in immorality, addicted to some kind of a substance in their life. It's so easy to look on them and be critical of them if we're not careful, because we forget that's where we were prior to our salvation. Sometimes easy, if you're anything like me, to again look at your family or to look at your sense of right and wrong and be so critical of people who aren't where you're at, we forget sometimes where we started in the spiritual life. Has it ever happened to us? I think sometimes, and I think the scripture would bear this out, I think sometimes we need to be reminded of what God did for us. See, in verse number 1 of 1 John chapter 3, here's what John said. He said, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Behold what manner of love the Father. What does it mean when John speaks of the love of the Father or the manner of the Father? He's talking about, think about the kind of love that is represented in the actions of God the Father. And whenever he says behold, we've got to understand the emphasis of this. He's not saying behold. Hey guys, you might want to think about this. You know, this might be something you'd like to consider. This might be something you'd like to give attention to. No, it's a word with emphasis attached to it. John is saying to the people that he is writing to, he is saying, behold, think about this, consider this, give this some attention. Think about the kind of love that the Father hath bestowed on us. Just like I need to be reminded every once in a while of where I started in my personal life and in my relationship with Susie, every once in a while how I need to give my focus to that and my attention to that, the same is true in my spiritual life. I need to stop and think about the kind of love that was on display when he gave himself for me. I think all of us, from time to time, need to consider the manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. When we had nothing, when we offered nothing, when we presented nothing by way of potential, God looked at us and said we were worthy of his son, Jesus Christ, and he gave Christ to die on the cross for our sins. We need to think about the manner of the love of our Father. He said that we should be called the sons of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? But it's easy to lose sight of, right? I am a child of God. I am a son of God. For you ladies, you are the daughters of God. Collectively, obviously, we are the children of God. Here we were prior to our salvation. We had nothing but our filthy rags. Someone says it's such a cliche. No, it happens to be scripture. All we were filthy rags. We had nothing at all to offer him. And God said, I love you so much, I will give my son for you. And he saved us when we humbled ourselves and called on him. And at that moment that we called on him to save us, we became his child. It's a wonderful truth. And it's a truth that this world does not understand. How do we know? And there in verse number 1, he went on to say this, therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew not him. Or knew him not. John is simply saying the world doesn't understand this relationship. The world doesn't comprehend this. The world, who is still lost in their sins, they don't understand this relationship. But he says in verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So do you understand the flow of thought here? And I hope I'm conveying this, but here is John writing to believers, and he's trying to remind them of where they started out at in their spiritual lives. You were lost. You were dead in your sins like everyone else, but because of the wondrous love of God, when he saved us, we are now the children of God. The world doesn't understand it, but there's more to it than that. There is coming a day, though it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but here's what's going to happen, is we are going to one day be like him. Isn't that exciting? It may not cause for a raucous environment, and that's fine, but I don't know about you, I just know about me. I am glad that one day I will be like him, because I get tired of being like me sometimes. Okay, I get tired of who I am. I'm not trying to be too honest or too transparent, but you know, Wednesday night I was preaching about the issue of sometimes we contend with things and have strife about things that we don't need to have strife on. You remember that sermon if you were here Wednesday night? And if we poke at it and if we let it go, it can be like a dam that breaks and it can be very destructive. Okay, see, I shared with you how, you know, Susie backed out of the garage and she clipped the mirror and it made me mad. Yeah, okay. So I preached a sermon and Susie said it went over well. I don't know if it did or not. Maybe she's just trying to be sweet to me. But she said the sermon went over well and the truth was communicated and all that other stuff. And so I was feeling pretty good about the sermon. Okay, that one was presentable. Thursday morning, get up and start getting around. And it's early. And Susie had agreed to go to breakfast with me Thursday morning before I came to the church. So again, it was early and we were going to start our day together. And you know what she did? She overslept just a little bit. So she is running behind. Now remember, I've got the sermon playing in my mind. Don't make a big deal out of it. Don't make a big deal out of it. Let it go. That's not worth it. On and on and on. And I'm replaying this sermon that Susie said was a good sermon. I'm replaying it in my mind. And you know what she did? She made me mad Thursday morning. Now, I promise you, I'm going somewhere with this. Let it go. Let it go. Don't make a big deal out of it. Don't make a big deal out of it. And you know what I did? I held on to it and I made a big deal out of it. Now, what's my point? My point is this. I don't know about you, but I get sick of myself sometimes. I see this fault and I see this flaw and I see this issue and I see this recurring problem, and it's like I don't have victory in this yet, and I don't have victory in this yet, and I'm still struggling with this, and this still pops up from time to time. And I'm just saying, I read a scripture like this that says that there is coming a day that I am going to be like the one who saved me. That is encouraging and that is thrilling, because I get tired of the fight sometimes with this flesh. So I look at where I'm at today, and I can lose sight of the fact that this is where I started at. And so I can sometimes view myself a little bit better than I should. But then certain things pop up and remind me, buddy, you don't have it all together yet. Okay, I don't. You're right. As if I needed more confirmation. But by the grace of God, one day I will be like him. But notice what he went on to say in verse number 3. He said, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." What does it mean when John speaks about every man that hath this hope in him? Well, this hope of salvation, this hope of one day standing before Christ and being made in him, or being made like him. Okay, that is something we hope for, and that is something we look forward to, right? Yeah. It is for me anyways. It's something that I expect, and it's something that I anticipate. It is something that I am looking forward to. So he said, for every person that hath this hope in him, here is what this person does. They purify himself even as he is pure. So what does it mean to purify oneself? It's just the idea of cleansing oneself, or making oneself purified. Now someone may hear that and say something like this, well, you can't do that yourself. You can't purify yourself. You can't cleanse yourself. That's not what you're able to do. And the answer to that is you are correct. But it is true, though, that this is a team effort. You say, well, what do you mean by that? I mean this, okay? I'm saved, as you would say that you're saved, most of you, right? Okay, so I have this hope within me that one day I'm going to see Christ and I will be like him in that moment. When that transformation takes place, I'm going to be like him, but I'm not there yet. But because of the manner of the love of my Father, because he loves me so much, because he is patient with me, because he is so willing to work with me, here's what it does, kind of like my relationship with Susie. It motivates me to let him do the purification process in my life that needs to take place. Again, it's a team effort. What do I mean whenever I say a team effort? Okay, what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit does many things in my life, but one of the things is this, is he will lead me, and he will guide me, and he's going to convict me. He's going to show me where things are wrong. He's going to show me where things need to be changed. And so because of this hope that I have within me, here is what it should do in my life. It should make me want to let him work in me more and more and more and more each day. When he leads me because of my love, or because of his love for me and my relationship with him, whenever he leads me, I should say, God, that's where I want to follow. Whenever he directs me, that's when I should want to say, God, that's what I want to do. And when he convicts me, I should be willing to say, you're right and I'm wrong, and I want to be right as best I can. See, John is saying that for the one who is saved, if you really get a hold of the love of God in your life, if you'll really get a grasp of how much he loves you, you will want to let God do the work in your life that needs to be accomplished. So that should be true of me, just like it should be true of you. But it's a challenge sometimes. I know that I should be purifying myself, obviously with his help, even as he is pure. I know that I should be doing that, but it's a battle. And unfortunately, sometimes it's not the battle that it should be at times. Does that make sense? There's always going to be this battle raging because of my flesh. But sometimes I'm not as worried about the fight as I should be. He's trying to lead. The Spirit is trying to guide. The Spirit is convicting and convincing of sin. But I'm not even worried about it. It's not the way it's supposed to be for a child of God. So here I am at this particular stage in my spiritual life. It's easy to forget where God has brought me from, and I need to be reminded, man, God loved me immensely. He gave his son on the cross for my sins. And as a result of that, the world doesn't understand this relationship that I've got with God today. And one day there will be this completion in my spiritual life, and this perfection is going to take place, of which that's a glorious thought. But until then, I need to keep working at being, with his help, what I'm supposed to be. And that's the same for you as well. So what I have to ask myself, what I'm trying to bring to us this morning by way of thought is this, is are we working toward that? Are we honestly working toward that purification process, or have we become complacent in our Christian lives? After all, we've already reached this particular marker in our spiritual life. We've already come to a certain place, and I don't really need to advance much more than that. Now, that's faulty thinking. Amen. The purification process needs to continue. The sanctification process needs to continue. I'm asking us this morning, as best we can, based on his love for us, are we motivated to live in obedience to him like we should? Are we striving for that purification process like we ought? And the obvious point in all of this that I want to close with, and probably isn't needed this morning, but maybe more so than I would realize, the purification process can't start until we've first been saved. Until we have first recognized the love of God through Christ in the means of salvation, we can't purify ourselves because we cannot earn our own salvation. So you may sit here today and you may say, well, I'm trying to be a good person. I'm really trying to make myself better. I'm really working at improving me. That's all fine and that's all good from the worldly standpoint, but from a biblical standpoint, you're still as lost as you've ever been, and it doesn't matter how good you become. You have to be saved before you can work on the purification process with the help of God. So if you've never been saved, you've got to be saved first. But if we're saved, if we're a child of God, then we ought to recognize his love wherever we're at in our spiritual lives and say, God, I want to keep growing. And God, I want to keep maturing, and I want to keep developing, and I want to keep getting rid of sin. I want to keep purifying myself, because you've already given me far more than I deserve. Let's all stand this morning and bow our heads for prayer. Father, as we come to you this morning, I hope this has made sense, and I hope this has been a help. God, I'm asking you to help me and to help all of us who are saved to have a desire to continue growing in our walk with you. It is so easy, if we're honest, for many of us, it is so easy to look at where we're at today and to be satisfied, forgetting where we've come from. And so maybe for just a moment, we need to reflect on what you've done for us and be reminded just how much we need to continue working at letting you work in our lives. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.